But we want to share communion this morning. We're going to break bread, just like the Master did 2,000 years ago. And I want to share with you what Brother Paul had documented in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Very familiar passage. But just always a little nugget here and there that reminds us. Reminds how powerful the blood of Jesus is. And that He's done His part and for us to do our part, you know? Amen. He's already done all the work. But in the 23rd verse of chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, when you get there, yeah, amen. Vicki, your Bible looks like mine. You need duct tape on yours. That's awesome. That is awesome. I got the old-fashioned style out today. I'm getting more and more used to the electronic Bibles. You just push a button, you're there. You know, I got to watch myself. I get spoiled real quick. But Brother Paul says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." And then they say, well, how did he receive it? And there's two thoughts. One is on the road to Damascus, when he first got born again, that there's revelation that the Lord had poured into him, or when he's, as you read in Scripture, when he's up to the third heaven in the presence of God, either way, but this what was downloaded into his spirit. That the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this, and as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason many among you are weak and sick, and a number of people sleep. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so you will not come together for judgment. The remaining matters I will arrange when I come," he says. But he's remembering the one thing that's really important, I think, is remembering the death of Jesus, because he took our death. He paid our penalty for our sins. Okay? So that was really brought out, saying, a lot of times we can carry guilt around. Satan will give us guilt of things in the past. But because of the death of Jesus, they're paid for. We'll follow him. Amen. Then he talks about also that judging ourselves rightly, that we should always judge ourselves, check our spirit, check our life. And then what we find that's not lined up with the Lord, repent from it and turn away from it. He says, you know, a lot of our brothers and sisters are sick, and some have fallen asleep, otherwise have passed away because of not judging the body correctly. Now, he's not saying that they died as Christians and went to hell, okay? But we have to realize that sin is detrimental to our life no matter what stage we're in, okay? If I'm a Christian and I get mad right now, I start cussing, and I drop over dead, I don't go to hell, okay? I'm covered by the blood, okay? But that might have expedited my departure, you know what I'm saying? My blood pressure could have raised up, you know, my heart couldn't handle it. I'm not sure. So, if we examine ourselves and say, "Lord, man, forgive me of this," and we repent from our sins, it's done, you know? You're not going to be brought back up on that charge again. But if we don't, what we're doing, it, I always figure it's kind of like Satan's kind of tapping on the door of your life a little bit, you know. And if we don't sound like, "Get out of here," he's going to keep tapping. Pretty soon you're going to tire, hear that tapping. I'm just going to open the door up a little bit and see what he wants. And when we open the door up, what happens? He comes in, don't he? He comes in. And we know that sin has one wage, and the wage of the sin is separation from God and death, and it just starts working in our life. But if we just take the moment and just study ourselves and make sure that there's nothing in our life that's displeasing to God, and we've sinned. I mean, as a Christian, we're going to continue to mess up. We don't want to, but we're going to. And we have to acknowledge that. I think that's really important, to acknowledge it and not blame other people for your sin, okay? You know, I mean, we just come in today. It's funny how God always gave me something coming to church in the morning, but we were coming down 541 Bacon Run, and I'm running about 49 to 50. I mean, it's well faster my truck could go anymore. And behind me, I saw a mile behind me, that straight stretch, this black vehicle coming. And of course, the old cop instinct kicked in. I'll beat him at no. I know what he's going to do. And we get in these S curves, double yellow lines, and they pass us. Oh, my land sakes. I thought, But thank the Lord over my years of discipline through His Word. I just said a prayer, God be with him. In case they're headed to the hospital or something, but normally I don't think they was. But now I do admit to you, I knew the license number, okay? But just things like that, just trying to push that button a little bit, you know? I mean, it wasn't Satan trying to do it. It was me trying to be disciplined, you know? Why ruin my whole morning because of somebody driving like that, you know? And so, I thank the Lord for my heart that has changed in that area, okay? Now, if I got upset and went off like a tangent, Lord, forgive me, you know, because I want His heart in my life. And He tells us also that in doing so, as we examine ourselves, okay? But man must examine himself, and so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So, as we examine ourselves, if I can put it this way, we clean the chalkboard off, okay? To take communion. Amen? God wants an establishment in us. And then some people take communion every day at home. You're already examining yourself every day, okay? Not that our salvation is based upon that, but we want to be pleasing to God, and we don't want anything to interfere our relationship. But we remember that, man, Christ has already paid the penalty for my sin. Wow, I mean, why would I want to even play around with that? You know, my desire is not to have sin in my life, and that's what He says to do. Sometimes we can get to the point, you know, we say a prayer and we come to know Jesus, then we don't understand how detrimental sin still is to our life, okay? And it takes away from our witness for other people, you know. I was guilty for years. I smoked for I don't know how many years. But I go to the doctor sometimes, I have a hard time breathing, okay? And he gave me an inhaler or maybe a steroid, you know. I fell in love with steroids. They give you energy for about 5 days, man, I'm telling you. And so, what's that? You gain 50 pounds, yeah. Yeah. But instead of quit smoking at that time, no, I just, give me a squeeze, give me a cigarette type deal, you know. And if you smoke, I'm not going to get down on you for smoking. We all got our vices, amen? But it took me a while to realize, wait, okay, I'm going back here. Do you want to keep going back to the doctor? Do you still want to go back and be examined? And it just took a while, then crying out to the Lord one day, He took it away from me. And this year, October would be 25-year anniversary. Woo, 25 years since I'm going to have a cigar and celebrate, you know. But just thing like that, just that sometimes as we're living in this world today, and sin is very very noticeable anymore. I would say running rampant, but it's always run rampant. It used to be covered up, but now it's right out there in front of us, okay? And it's so easy to let your lifestyle for the Lord get watered down just because you're around it so much. We find ourselves compromising. We find ourselves saying things, doing things, going places that we have no business being there. And just because that's the culture. And so what you're doing this morning is so important, to be around other believers, to be encouraged that you're not crazy for not wanting to do this anymore or want to do that anymore. And to examine ourselves. And when we do mess up, confess it to the Lord. You know, confess it. Say, Lord, forgive me. And go on with life. And don't dwell in it. The worst thing we can do, guys, is a sin. And get so mad at ourselves that we wait a week before we confess it to the Lord for forgiveness. Now, you're still under the blood, right? But when you confess that, that takes the pressure off of you. I share many times, you know, my wife, you know, if I do something wrong at home, hard to believe, okay? Okay. Oh, man, I knew I did wrong. Oh. What's that? Okay, yeah. But if I do something wrong, well, I mean, wrong, something that offended her, I know I shouldn't do it. I mean, maybe I'm the only guy who ever does that, you know, but open your mouth up sometime, you shouldn't, or whatever it might be. I know what has happened. I know I want to apologize. I want to snuggle, okay? But sometimes you get that, what is it? Attitude, pride, maybe, or whatever. And so you might walk around 2 or 3 days and have that little edginess. You guys know what I'm talking about? Anybody? Okay. Okay, Jason. And you know, but the minute we say, hey, listen, my mouth was too big the other day, you were right, boom. All that melts away, and it's like huddle time again, you know? And that's what it is with God, is for our good. My wife already forgave me, you know? I mean, married 46 years, I mean, she's stuck with me, okay? And she loves me, she's already forgiven me, but man, when I admit it to myself and apologize, it's not so much for her, even though it's nice that I acknowledge it, it's for me, that I spoke to my wife and brought back to, and same with the Lord, that's with us. When we have this time that we might not be speaking for a couple of days, kissy-kissy, we still talk to one another, okay? Are we still married? I'm still her husband? She's still my bride? We still got 3 kids? We still got a house? We got all this, okay? Well, it's the same with God, you know? He doesn't throw us out. You know, He's there. And He's waiting for us. It's kind of like, okay. My wife's probably like that anymore. Okay, well, let's talk to you one more day yet. He'll come to me. You know what I'm saying? But it just makes you feel good. You clean the slate, and it's just awesome. It's like starting over again. So that's what every morning, in your morning prayer, you come to the Lord and just share your heart with them. And when we break bread here today, just our heart is, hey, God, what have we done to offend you? And it's not our desire to do that. Forgive us of our sins, and we want to be more like you. And that He already paid the penalty for our sins. We don't have to do that. We have here on earth to serve Him, to share the gospel with other people. And then someday we'll hear that, either say, come up here, or we're going to hear that trumpet sound, and we're going to be with Him forever and ever. Amen? Amen. Let's just take a couple of moments here and just kind of reflect on our lives today with the Lord, if you would. Now, you didn't bring with me today because you weren't here last week, but if I take you back in time 2 weeks ago, we was talking about the enemy and how strong we think he is. You know, Satan is only a fallen angel, but he can get in your head and you think he's, you know, humongous. And I had Ryan up here and I had my nunchucks. You guys remember any of that? Okay. And you're lucky you don't remember because you're on the front row. I would have hit you in the head with it, you know. But what I was trying to show out, can I borrow you for a second, Ryan? Just what I was trying to show is that right now, if we got into a fight right now, I mean, who do you think would win? You know, exactly. We need to say, but Ryan would try. No, I mean it's uneven. I mean, come on. We've had the probably he's had more training than me. We talked about the other day, military and stuff, law enforcement. But right now, I wouldn't stand a chance. But a set of nunchucks that I had, and I didn't bring with me. Nunchucks is two pieces of wood with a chain between it, and you twirl it and stuff. I used to do that all the time. But those nunchucks in my back pocket doesn't make it even anymore. It makes me more victorious over him. Because on nunchucks, at the very tip of the edge when I hit, it carries 2,000 pounds of pressure. With that quick, I would neutralize him. Okay? And what I was trying to show you was, that's God's word in us. Sometimes the Satan can roar like a lion, rah, you know, threaten you or whatever it might come, and you get scared. You know, I don't know what to do, but the word of God that we have in our Bibles, the word of God that we have here, spoken word of God is stronger than anything that Satan can do. It's not an equalizer. It's like a totally wipes them out. Because Satan is only a fallen angel. That's it. He's not God, never has been God, never will be God. He had a desire to be like God, but it didn't work out very good. And so that's what we have is his word. Now, Satan knows. I mean, sometimes you think of Satan. Used to be the horns and the pointy tail. I mean, a lot of people think that's what Satan looks like. You know, and I think it came out in a cartoon something years ago. Somebody used that as Satan and it caught on. But Satan is described as an angel of light at one time. Okay? He wasn't ugly, he was beautiful. Now, I believe myself, farther away if you get from the Lord, the uglier a person gets. And so I don't think there's much any beauty at all in him now. But he'll come to you in a ways trying to deceive you. He'll find a way to work. I mean, right now, if he walked in here with a pointy tail and horns and smoke coming out of his nostrils and stuff, and offer you candy, you'd probably say, "No, I got one though." Bob's hungry back here. Thinking about it, you know? Huh?
Depends on candy.
Well, if they were Lori's strawberries she made the other day, yeah. But you would recognize it, okay? Like, man, I had nothing to do with that, okay? But he doesn't come that way. He finds different ways to get into our life. And so I just want to share a couple of minutes here, a couple of things, and we'll continue next week with it. But just a couple of things of how he tries to get manipulated into our life, and we need to recognize that. And his word, God's word, will protect us from that. Amen? Amen? Thank you, son. Yeah, I was sharing, Brother Bob, that last week when I had my chucks, I was practicing at the sheriff's office back in the 70s. I was demonstrating in the office itself. I lost control of them. I missed the computer screen by that much. So that's why I didn't swirl around in here the other day, you know. But I want to share with you today a couple things that God put on my heart. And he said, how does our enemy access us? How does our enemy attack us? And how does he get to us? Well, he can use whatever we give him permission to use. Think of that. The only way he can get to us is whatever we give him permission to use in us. You know, we have to guard ourselves. This is why it's so important to understand why knowing and following the Word of God is detrimental to us. We need that so much. Not just today and maybe on Wednesday, but every day. Satan, he'll wait until you give him an opportunity. You'll get lax, relax, and the next thing you know, that little knock on the door, and you say, well, who's out there? And he comes in. The Word of God has been given to us to protect us from falling into the trap that Satan has planned for us. Him and all his cohorts, they work on it every day and night, trying to figure out a way to trip you up. Think of that. It's not accidental when something takes place. Okay. Now, I'm not saying Satan today had that guy pass me on Bacon Run Road. Okay. No. And I'm not saying it was Satan who caused me to react. But it's my body, my spirit, living in this carnal body, which has been disciplined over the years now, that I don't react like I normally would when Satan was truly my father. Amen? He's just, yeah. And I took kind of pride in that. I didn't get upset and try to run him down, you know. I didn't mean run over him, but run him down, you know. I just, because he might have been going to the hospital. I think anybody driving that way had to be something really important, you know. I would think. Satan and his demons are always waiting and lurking around us, waiting for the opportunity to ensnare us in sin. Day in and day out, 24 hours a day, his goal is to make us fall. That's his goal, is make you trip up. He makes to make you feel bad about yourself. He wants to take you away from the Lord. He wants to shut down your witness. He wants to cause you to do something that it doesn't make you fall away as a Christian. But you do something right now, then you want to witness somebody a second later. And how can you? Because look what you just did. Okay? And what's the best thing to do when you do that? I acknowledge it, you know. You know, oh, Ryan, I should have never said that. And I've been following the Lord for how many years now, but you know, I'm not perfect yet. And what I said, that's wrong. Forgive me, will you? But let me tell you what the Lord says about this. See what I'm saying? I'm acknowledging that I'm not perfect, okay? And then sharing the Word of God, you know? The minute I acknowledge that, whatever I gave Satan, whatever he had wrapped around me and shut me down is gone, right? You know? You ever have somebody have a secret about you? They know something about you that nobody else knows? Yep, yep, yep. What is it, Penny? No. But they use that secret over you? Hey, listen, girl, I need $20. I'm going to tell about you. Okay. Right? But the minute, if I had something, I don't know why you're looking right at you here. We both went to the same school at one time. But if I had something over on Gail, and I was using that to manipulate her in front of all you guys, you know, all I have to do is say, yeah. She knew right then, I'm saying, give me $20, I'm going to tell about them. Back to you, okay? But if Gail would stand up and say, hey, I'm tired of being tormented. Hey, I did this, okay? Okay? I tied a donkey inside the gymnasium on graduation day, all right? There, I confessed it. No, she didn't do that, guys. Okay, I'm done. But see, right then, she has it out in the open. I can't blackmail her with that anymore, right? I just confessed it. She just confessed it. Boom. I have no way now. I got to find something else on you, okay, in order to get money out of her. It's the same with us when we sin and when we blow it. And Satan will use it over in your head like, hey, watch out. Watch, you better do that. You better not witness these people over here. I'm going to bring your pass up, okay? And we can fall in that category for a while, but the minute we confess it, the minute we confess it, say, wait, I'm tired of this. I'm tired. I'm not able to speak I'm going to let Satan hold me down anymore. I've been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. We just broke bread and said, hey, Christ died. He took my death, right? So if we have to confess it, well, I mean, have to confess. You're already forgiven. But is confessing something to somebody that they know about you anyway? So, yeah, did that, done that. But God's forgiven me. He'll forgive you also. Sin is still sin. But just recognizing some of the things the devil tries to do. He tries to get something on you. Anybody ever do anything you don't want on the front page of the paper? Yeah, you know, Marty's grinning back here. What is it, Marty? No, I just kidding. I can't tell you. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I remember when I first started over at the sheriff's office back in the 70s, I was only there a few months and had a jailbreak. And, I mean, the guy thumped on me and took off, thumped on my partner, and it hit the front page of the paper for some reason. and I remember people come in for visitation. I'm a brand new officer, 20 years old or whatever. And I'd get other guys out for visitation, and we had about 60 people in jail. And how many of the family out there stand and say, hey, I heard you had somebody escape on you, huh? You know how humiliating that is? I mean, it was on the front page. I couldn't deny it. You know what I'm saying? So I had to eat it up for a while. But then after a while, I'm not saying this is the proper thing to do, but they would come in and say, oh, hey, I heard you had somebody escape on you. I said, yep, but not your son. You know what I'm saying? I found a way to... But, I mean... That was B.C. That was way before Jesus, okay, you know what I'm saying? But once I acknowledge it, I mean, they were hoping to get me upset, you know what I'm saying? But what can I say? It took place, you know? The guy was caught later on and brought back, you know what I'm saying? But just bring it out front and recognizing how you can't change your past and only the future and how we respond to things. And Satan, he knows how to push our buttons. But if we look at our God and look at who you are, and I wrote down here, but our God wants us to overcome the devil. God wants us to be victorious. And he doesn't want us to allow the devil to have access to the temple of the Holy Ghost. Think of that. That's what you are. You are the temple. You are the building where Christ lives in. The Holy Ghost lives in us, okay? And he is very, very particular, okay? He doesn't want to share the rooms in your house here with anybody else, okay? And our heart's desire is we don't want to share either, right? We don't want to. And if you knew somehow how an enemy was getting into your temple, you wanted to stop it, right? when we recognize it. And so there's a lot of different ways he can use, and I'll just share the way that God laid upon my heart, and we'll dive into it more, I'm for sure, next week. But what I've come up with 11 ways that God showed me. Number one, he has access to you with music. Amen? Music is one of, wow. And then through your thought life, he can enter through here. He can come in through friends. He comes with temptations. You can be tempted. Okay? Through your emotions. You know, that's a heavy-duty one there, because sometimes we say, man, I just felt it in my heart that it's the right thing to do, right? You ever say that? You know, oh, I just felt it in my heart the right thing to do. But the Bible says, watch out, your heart is very deceitful. Okay? Video games. Oh, yeah, there's a nail there. Movies. Your television set. Your radio. He attacks it through lies and deception. And through alcohol and drugs. Either legal or illegal. He'll find a way to work his way in. But in music, we have to watch out the music that we listen to. And I got a scripture I'll share with you that speaks about that. Ephesians 4:29. Verse 31, Ephesians 4:29-31. But music, I think we all can testify to the point that music can uplift us and bring us down. Music can take me back 40 years ago, 50 years ago. A lot of things can be attached to music. Now, not saying music isn't a sin, okay? But what type of influence it has on us can be. And remember this, I mean, we were sharing Friday night. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, in the words that you speak, okay? Now, that's any time. That's not just like, okay, whoop, I'm going to speak a couple of words here today and speak it out, then the rest of the week, speak wherever I want to. Every time you say something, everything, there's no idle words, if I can put it that way. Even the Bible says don't speak about idle words, meaning don't say stuff you don't want to happen. That can be in song. You know, it was a bit ago, you know, that last song we were singing, I can't remember it now, but it had a pretty good beat to it. I mean, everybody's just awesome. I can't. Anybody remember it? Yeah. I don't remember it either. It's towards the end of one, because I remember back here, oh, that's awesome, you know, just motivating. I say in awe of, yes, what it is. My Redeemer lives. That's awesome. Yeah, yeah. It just lifts you up and just strengthens, just focuses more and more on the Lord. It's the words coming out, okay? And so, and music can be awesome. You know, my Redeemer lives. And I know that my wife's saying, okay? Jesus loves me. This I know. It's uplifting. But we can take words from other songs and sing them. Oh, I don't really mean that, but I love the beat too. But we'll watch out. It has a way of getting into our spirit, okay? I shared many times, one of my favorite songs back before Jesus came into life was Highway to Hell. I mean, AC/DC. I just listened to it for the beat, you know? Yeah, right, yeah. But just songs like that. Now, I would never ever sing a song now, I'm on a highway to hell, because I realize the power that I have in our words, in the Spirit of the living God. And to me, that'd be like slapping Jesus in the face. I'm on a highway to hell. And Starkey, did I redeem you? With my blood enough? And you're still going to hell? You see what I'm saying? It's just but in Ephesians 4:29, this can apply to about every aspect of our life, not just a spoken word. But let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. But if there is any good word for edification, according to the need of the moment, say that, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. All bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor and slander must be removed from you, along with all malice. So, in our songs, the music you might be listening to, when you're singing along, you're speaking that out, and it's getting in the ear, whether you know it or not. I share that with Friday night or Wednesday night, but the two hearings, you know. Right now I can hear myself speaking, okay? do this. Now I hear myself, but I hear myself inside me. So we hear through here, but my spirit, not my heart here, but my spirit hears also inside of me. I'm putting that inside of me, okay? And so we look at some of the songs that we might listen to, and even though they might have a good rhythm to them, do we want to sing? I mean, Hank Williams Sr. and Jr. had one. There's a tear in my beer, and I'm crying for you, dear. You. Okay. What is that going to do to my spirit? Is that edifying anything, uplifting, okay? What's that? Make you drink beer. Make you drink beer. Yeah, really, seriously, it is. I mean, there's a lot of songs out there designed to do that. So we got to watch out, okay? I'm not here to tell you what songs to listen to or not listen to. The Holy Spirit will guide you, but I realize some of the ways the enemy uses to get in, you know? Folks, I love music. I mean, I love listening to... I was more raised more of country, but I'm also a little bit of rock and roll, you know. What's that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, them brother and sister sang that, right? Yeah. The one song, The Carpenter, Donnie Marie Osmond. Okay, yes, yes. Here we are in a Christian gathering talking about Mormons. Okay. Go figure. But then some of the songs, I can't be, not Roy Clark, but anyway, Tom T. Hall. I love little tiny ducks and the yellow pickup truck, whatever it is. You know, awesome. It's peaceful, okay? You know, you see, Leave My Wife, he does another song that goes, I like beer, it makes me a jolly good fella. You were singing it the night I met you, wasn't it? Okay, no, I just get it. But... Yeah, I know. She's always, oh no. But again, I'm not saying those songs there is going to send you to hell, okay? But it's having influences in your life, okay? Whatever you're singing about, do you really want it, you know? There's a lot of sad songs out there, you know. There's one out there called Vincent. Everybody hear the song Vincent? Starry, Starry Night? Okay, very sad, depressing song, you know. And I used to love that song, but I don't want to listen to it anymore because it talks about Vincent Van Gogh when he killed himself, right? My father's name was Vincent, he killed himself 30-some years ago. And so I got to watch out because that can take you down the wrong path. I don't want to sing about that anymore, okay? It can bring you down. Bridge Over Troubled Waters, okay? Her daddy's favorite song. I love that song to the degree we got to watch out. It can take you in the wrong places, okay? So Satan finds a way of getting into your life by what we enjoy, and entertainment and music is part of it. So we got to make sure that we don't open the door up to him to come knocking just real subtly and get into our life that way. If it's not lifting you up or edifying the Lord, be very cautious of what you permit in your jukebox, okay? I know for some of us, we have certain albums maybe from years past. We don't like the lyrics, but we like the drum beat and stuff like that. Well, I really suggest get rid of them and find a Christian group that has the same type of beat that you can listen to. That's one thing, not plugging anything, but 89.5 is an awesome radio station for uplifting music and news and stuff. You know, that's our Howard, Ohio. I think it's called Clean Air, huh? How much would they pay me? No, but it's awesome because it's called Clean Air too. You know, I shared before out home where we live at, right when I get about Chuck and Marty, before I turn off to go to their place, I used to listen to a Christian radio station. I think it was 92.1 then. This is years ago. But right around a bend there, Chuck, by your guys' place, it was slowly go over to a rock and roll station. You know, not the station itself, but another one to bleed in. And I could actually find myself singing Christian songs and then right back into rock and roll of the old days, just so easily. Next thing I'm like, why am I singing about a bullfrog? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Jeremiah, not noticing it, that's how simple I went, and the next thing, boom. And that's how Satan works, just so subtly. He'll just find a way to get in there. And again, I'm not speaking against bullfrogs. I'm not speaking against... I'm just saying how easily that we can find ourselves being transferred from our eyes focused on the Lord to going back in time. And that's through our music. It says, no unwholesome word should come from our mouth. All edification. And as the body of Christ recognizes that more and more, we'll find ourselves complaining less, I believe, about other people and really finding ways of speaking and uplifting other people. Okay? Sure, we all know people that probably never done anything good in their entire life, but somewhere along the line, you can find something to speak good about them. You know, well, they did this. Yeah, I know, but you know what? They're made in the image of God, and God said He had a plan for them, so I'm just waiting around to see what that plan is, you know? So that's our part. Our part is always bring Christ into the situation, but watch out how Satan gets into us. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Again, you gotta realize, to me, I'm looking at myself as a house right now, occupying the Holy Spirit occupies in me. He pays the rent. I don't want to bring anything into this house that's not of God, that He doesn't want. I don't want to be detrimental to Him. Why? Because, well, one, I don't want to grieve Him. But number two, it's not going to do me any good either. Because, remember, Satan, when he comes for steal, kill, and destroy, and he don't care how he does it, he'll find a way to get into it, okay? He'll find some way to get into your life. And then the last one I'll share this morning is thought. It's in your thought. In Philippians 4, 8, and 9 is what the scripture I had to share with you. Again, when we look at the Word of God and we follow the Word of God, we're going to stop so much access to the devil trying to get a hold of us and get into our life. You know, if we contemplate on the Word of God. I was sharing Friday night about our times table. Anybody remember a times table in school? Yeah, one times one is one, one times two is two. And I remember as a youngster growing up, and we realized about 60 years ago now, I guess, on a Sunday night doing homework, and you got the TV on, and Mom said, hey, shut that TV off, get your homework done. And so what would I do for a couple of hours, writing and speaking out, one times one, one times two? That's how I learned it. Here I am 60 years later, and I still tell you that two times two is four, right? Because of repeating it, repeating it, repeating it. Well, folks, it learned my heart, right? Down in my, well, yeah, that's true. Well, the Word of God, we need to take the same application to the Word of God. You know, kind of like, hey, let's shut that TV off. You got 2 hours of homework tonight and study that. Study that. We weren't sure how, you know, I did not like school, okay? I like recess and I like the Christmas play that we used to do, okay? That was it. And lunch, no, well, the lunch was cool. You know, Mom packed my lunch most of the time. But what they were teaching me then, they knew I was going to need later on in life. Amen? And they, Mom and Dad would do it, they knew it. Well, the same way of God, the Word that God has given us, He knows that we need it. Okay? We might not need it so much right now, a certain part of it. But tomorrow, tonight, you might need it. So spending time in the Word and putting it to memory, studying it. I learned the best by speaking it and writing it out. And putting to my memory that way. And in Philippians 4, 8, about your thought process, is finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent and if anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And what I love about this is, whatever is true, honorable, whatever is right, pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, whatever is uplifting, he says, contemplate that. You know? Think about good things. We're not denying that bad things exist, right? And we'll address the bad things when we need to. We'll go to a prayer closet and we'll pray against the evilness, however God leads us. But man, we're going to concentrate more on what is pure, what is good, what is uplifting. Wow! Think of that. A thing come in the day of my mind was talking about, thinking about the sermon. And you know one thing I'm waiting for this week? I know it might sound dumb. Some of you guys won't think it is. I have a 2001 Ford F-150 pickup truck. Now, our brother Bill, about 10 years ago, Brother Bill's right up here, Wasn't supposed to be driving anymore. He gave it to him. He had 80,000 miles on it. Here, use it. Take it. Use it for ministry. Sometime this week, guys, it's going to turn over 200,000 miles. And I'm telling you, when that takes place, I'm going to be celebrating, blowing the horn. I know it sounds stupid, but I can't wait to do this. When's it going to happen? Thursday or Friday? You know, 200,000 miles. Okay. Now, to you, it might sound stupid, but I'm looking forward to that. I mean, wow. Hey, it's dark and the moon just fell down. That's okay. My truck's on 200,000. Hey, Starkey, you got this bill in the mail. That's okay. My truck's on 200,000 miles. Okay, maybe I'm different. Huh? Yes, amen. I mean, I feel like 125,000 miles on the truck to the ministry. Yeah, awesome. So that's what I'm uplifted about. You know, many other things, but this one thing I'm thinking about, you know. And where I'll be at, if I'd be driving past your house, hear my horn blowing, you know, it turned over 200,000 miles. But what is pure, what is uplifting, you know? And your book, if you do a daily diary, and you're having a tough day, go back in the diary and read what the God has done in your life. Read the praise report. Read where He come along and did this and did that. Or look at this blessing that took place and that blessing that took place. Yeah, time might be tough right now, but God's done this in the past. I know He's still with me in the future. Okay? When He says Matthew 6 and 30 something there, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and the things that we need to be applied towards us. Think of that. Wow, thank you, Lord. I mean, we all want to just give me, give me, give me. Okay, we don't want to work for it, right? Amen? But that don't happen very often, does it? But we need to be able to work for it. How do we work for it? It's in the Scriptures. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and you have His kingdom directions in your hands in that Bible. Then read it, apply it to your life. Wow. I mean, that's an awesome thing, you know. We have to do our part, you know. So too often we sit around waiting for God to drop something in our lap, and He's already given us something, and that's called the Word of God. Now, contemplate on the Word of God, bring it to your spirit. Now do it, and let Him do what He does best, okay? Amen? That's what He wants us to do. But it's in our thought process. And so we need to think about things that are good and uplifting. And that's where we come in together. If you can't think of nothing good today, call somebody. I'm having a tough day. I can't think of nothing ever went right in my life. I'm just bombarded. What do you think? Oh, you remember that time? You know, come together, pray together. Uplift one another. But that's how Satan will get into the thought process. And if he keeps you separated, keeps you by yourself, well, he's got a playground on there that's hard to get out of. Okay? Brothers and sisters will speak truth back into you, right? They'll uplift you. Say, hey, listen, I know this stuff right now, but God says this and God says that. And he turns things around. Satan wants to separate you from the herd. Understand that. As I think Carol was sharing Bible study, I think it was, that Satan comes like a roaring lion, okay? Like it, we're not a roaring lion, but like one. He's got a big mouth. Roar! Okay? And he comes after easily for those who've been separated from the hood, herd or hood, either way, okay? You got her by yourself, then you hear the roar, he starts speaking to you and lying to you and stuff, and you start believing it because there's nothing around you here really to offset what he's saying to you, and you're just so scared you can't grab the Word of God. And next thing you know, he's trying to devour you. But he can only do against you what you permit him to do. I'm just saying, you have to give him permission. You know, well, he did this. Well, okay. But somewhere along the line, we let down something in our life. We could have. Okay? And what God doesn't want us to do is allow that to happen. So he's showing us these areas in our life that we have to watch out for. We give easy access to Satan. And he's a liar, he's a deceiver, he'll do anything. He'll use your kids, he'll use your spouses, he'll use your employers, all kind of people in order to get to you. But we gotta remember that we are here to honor the Lord. And whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. You know, Jason's got a job that he loves. You got a job that you hate? Okay, okay. Nothing wrong but looking for another job. But while you're doing that job, you do as if you're doing it for the Lord himself. And amen. Amen. Huh? That's why I said that, Jason. But I'm glad you know your Bible, you know. So, and that helps you get through a lot of tough times, you know. I'm doing it as to the Lord because I represent Him. And then as we honor Him and everything that we do, man, we just have more and more blessings into Him right now. And I just thank God today for the more of the truth has been coming out. A lot of the lies over the last 2 years being exposed more and more. And I just thank God that we continue to seek Him and pray for the truth to be exposed and for people have eyes and ears to recognize it, you know. A lot of lies have been destroyed because there's a lot of the lies that's been going on around the world and even in our nation. But God's not done with us yet, as long as we're not done with Him. We're truly one nation under God, yet He is still on the throne. We're just under attack right now. But God shall prevail through His children as we honor and worship Him in all that we do. Amen. So, it's your music this week and your thought life. So watch out there, okay? Well, may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may He turn His face toward you and give you peace. And may you continue to walk in the victory the Master won for us at the cross. And may His hand be upon you and wisdom given to you and discernment. And may the blessing of God handed down to Abraham rest upon each one of us and upon your children and your children's 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 children. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.